Mass shootings extend beyond gun control. The United States entered an era of mass shootings in the 1960s, which has steadily worsened over time. Until 2012, not many researchers looked into what these shootings had in common. One reason for this was the National Rifle Association's influence during President Bill Clinton's time, which blocked federal funding for studying gun violence. Eventually, when researchers did start studying, they focused on incidents over 30 years where one attacker killed at least four people. As researchers gathered data, they discovered that almost all the shooters they studied showed warning signs before their attacks. This goes against what many people believe from the media, where mass killers seem to strike out of nowhere. They also found out about the FBI's low-key threat assessment team. This team works with local authorities and has stopped many potential shootings before they happened. Gun massacres led to an expansion in behavioral threat assessment. Behavioral threat assessment teams are now a regular feature at schools, colleges, companies, and other places where people gather. As the Association of Threat Assessment Professionals, ATAP, enters its third decade, with over 2,600 members. The lesser-known efforts of ATAP members and other experts are like a beacon of hope in a scary scenario. They've discovered that often, someone close to a potentially violent person can pick up on signs that something's wrong. When they raise the alarm, trained professionals can check on the individual and those around them. Authorities work to understand the person's state of mind and whether they can access weapons. Taking extreme actions like getting fired, kicked out of school, or being put in jail might not solve the problem, but just delay it. Temporary restraining orders have often led to violence. Dealing with a potential issue involves paying attention to the person's underlying problems and issues. Russell Pellaria, the head of ATAP, has a background in psychology and specializes in operational psychology to prevent murders before they occur, rather than just analyzing them afterward. He, along with other experts, criticizes the media for focusing too much on the shocking aspects of mass killings. Empathy over force in addressing shooters. In 1975, Robert Fine, a psychologist from Harvard, launched a program in a Bridgewater, MA prison aimed at violent male offenders. Fine talked to men who had been through horrendous experiences and committed serious crimes. He even underwent therapy himself to cope with what he discovered. Fine's mentor, Dr. Sherbert Frazier, concluded that murder doesn't just happen suddenly, it's a process with stages that lead up to the act itself. When Mark Chapman killed John Lennon in Manhattan in December 1980, researchers looked closely at the murderer. Chapman reveled in the attention of his victim's fame and became a role model for potential killers. Researchers have outlined the pathway to violence. They found that many killers seek attention and often target famous individuals, with their political beliefs being secondary to their prominence. Law enforcement and security experts. As early as 1981, top law enforcement officials collaborated with experts in behavioral science, mental health, and law to exchange insights. Their resulting reports stress the importance of focusing on the situations surrounding potentially dangerous individuals to prevent threats. The U.S. Secret Service compiled a list of such individuals and regularly checked in on them every 3 months to assess any ongoing risks. Unfortunately, much of this valuable information is sitting untouched in files. Fine worked with the Secret Service to figure out the best ways to spot and handle potential threats to the president and others. He found out that even though Secret Service agents shared their experiences casually, no one had taken a close look at their case files or put together all the information in a structured way. Reagan attack-led assessment. After John Hinckley Jr. tried to kill President Ronald Reagan, the Secret Service had to change and grow quickly. They faced many new possible dangers. Fine helped Secret Service agents learn how to ask the right questions and figure out how dangerous someone might be in the moment. Fine and his Secret Service colleagues found that a lot of conflicting information made threat reports useless for federal agents. After Reagan was shot, at least one psychiatrist told agents that a certain patient could be dangerous. However, because the families of Hinckley's victims had sued his psychiatrist, the psychiatrist had to focus on protecting himself from potential lawsuits instead. Workplace shootings in the mid-80s. The tragic shooting at Columbine High School in Colorado on April 20, 1999, influenced others to copy the attack. Officials saw any fascination with Columbine or imitation of the shooters as a red flag. Mental health leaders met with Secret Service Director Brian Stafford and Brian Vossicuil, head of the National Threat Assessment Center, seeking advice. They asked law enforcement experts how to enhance school safety. As a result, metal detectors and other security measures became common in schools. Interviews with school shooters confirmed the pattern seen in interviews at Bridgewater Prison. Many school shooters share their plans in advance and have experienced bullying. Experts stress the importance of offering support to troubled youth and providing opportunities for them to belong to a group or engage in activities that steer them away from violence. The bystander problem is a major concern, as in several cases, people who knew about a shooter's intentions did not speak up or take action. Researchers highlight this as a critical phase for intervention. Oregon School began threat assessment. At the Salem-Keizer school system in Oregon, John Van Driel, who oversees security, and Courtney McCarthy, the head psychologist, work to stop problems before they get serious. Everyone in the school system, like advisors and counselors, gets training from experts. They also set up teams in each school to handle crises. The Mid-Valley Student Threat Assessment Team, STAT, includes people from different backgrounds, not just education. They meet often to talk about troubled students and figure out how serious the problem is and what to do. Each year, they look at around 200 cases and find about 20% need more attention. When a student appears troubled, team members organize meetings with the student, parents, teachers, and friends to understand the situation better and offer advice. If the student has shared detailed plans for violence or has worried more than one person, the situation gets more attention. Addressing student crises. The team has a plan called the wraparound strategy. They pick certain teachers to mentor students who are struggling and help them find activities or groups that might improve things. Sometimes, students who feel like hurting themselves might also think about hurting others. It's alarming that more young people are ending their lives at school instead of at home. But many parents don't know about the problems their child is facing or refuse to admit it. The STAT team works to stop shootings and help troubled students before they even think about hurting others. By working together and keeping an eye on students as they move between schools or grow older, we can sometimes prevent problems. With 20 years of experience, experts now understand better how issues at school can lead to real threats. Tragedies lead to preventive laws. The Los Angeles Police Department created the first specialized stalking unit after actress Rebecca Schaefer was murdered on July 18, 1989. In 1991, California passed a law making stalking behavior a crime. Initially, stalking was seen as mainly affecting celebrities due to high-profile cases. However, it soon became clear that everyday people were also victims. Authorities came to understand that millions of stalking incidents occur annually. By the mid-1990s, every state had laws against stalking. Tragedy of Virginia Tech shooting. The Virginia Tech shooting in 2007 made people pay attention to safety on college campuses. For 2 years, staff at Virginia Tech were worried about a student named Sung Hoe Cho. He was from Korea. The campus police knew he was bothering female students and talked about killing himself. But this information didn't get to the university's care team, who could have helped. In 2007, Cho shot and killed 32 people in a dormitory and classroom. Access to Virginia Tech's records revealed numerous red flags and missed opportunities to intervene with Cho, overlooked due to a lack of cooperation and stubbornness. Following this tragedy, the FBI, Secret Service, and Department of Education were mandated by the government to collaborate in studying campus violence. Post-2007, many institutions started establishing threat assessment operations as a result. Violent massacres don't just happen suddenly. They need planning and patience. Not all mass shooters are mentally ill. Saying they are only adds to the stigma around mental health, hurting millions who aren't violent. You can't predict who will become a mass shooter with a checklist. It's like trying to solve a puzzle without all the pieces. Mass shootings are more common in the US than anywhere else, even though they're only a small part of gun violence. Schools in America have spent lots of money trying to stop this, but drills might harm young minds. Threat assessment shows promise. Communities need a central system to share information about possible threats. Since 2010, the FBI's Behavioral Threat Assessment Center has been working hard to stop violence and deeply study this issue. After the Sandy Hook tragedy, Congress empowered the FBI to help investigate such incidents. Researchers have found that in many cases of shooters' paths, just one person speaking up or taking action could have stopped a tragedy. While social media makes some things more complicated, It helps experts identify patterns of humiliation, blame, vengeance, and despair. This information is clear to those who know what to look for. After her son Dylan, aged 6, was tragically lost in the Sandy Hook massacre, Nicole Hockley took action by co-founding Sandy Hook Promise, a nonprofit committed to advancing early intervention tactics. Thanks to Sandy Hook Promise's impactful videos, countless people quickly learned about the signs indicating potential mass shootings. Key points. 1. Recognizing warning signs early can prevent tragedies, like mass shootings. 2. Schools and communities prioritize early intervention to support troubled individuals. 3. Collaboration among authorities, mental health experts, and educators strengthens safety measures. 4. Proactive laws, such as anti-stalking legislation, safeguard public well-being. 5. Understanding the complexities of mass shootings helps in implementing effective solutions. 6. Raising awareness and intervening early can prevent future tragedies. 7. Empathy plays a crucial role in addressing underlying issues contributing to violence.